bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. We say it again so often, but we do say it sincerely. Just good to get together. And the microphone I usually use is not working right now, but I just feel like when I'm standing way up there, there's a mile difference between us, and I just want to get closer to my listeners. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along, and if you're very welcome to do that. I'm going to take the theme of just those words, first and second, in the Bible or in the New Testament. Just give a list of those, or probably perhaps more, but we'll just look at these five for today, Lord willing. First, the one comes from the text that was read to us. Jim gave us in the introduction about the first covenant and a second covenant. We call it the Old and New Testament in the Bible. By way of introduction, even in the text that was read to us, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. Verse 6 begins, "But now he has," meaning Jesus, "has obtained a more excellent ministry, insomuch as he is the mediator of a new covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second." The Hebrew writer, as Tip mentioned, addresses this situation rather often in the letter. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9, it says, "He said, Behold," meaning Jesus, "I come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second." As Tip said, many times people don't understand why is there two testaments? Why is there an old and why is there a new? Why didn't God just keep what he instituted the first time for all time? So it's a legitimate question. It's a reasonable one. Logical. Sensible. People look in their Bibles in the Old Testament, New Testament. Why is that? So the first testament was the Ten Commandments. I put in your notes, and hundreds of added commandments that are recorded. First of all, in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, you have those Ten Commandments that were given to Moses on tablets of stone. But you keep reading, and there were hundreds and hundreds of additional commandments that are recorded in the rest of the book of Exodus and in the book of Leviticus. One person, a Bible scholar of some kind or student of the Word, tried to count all the different and number of commandments that were given in that old law after the 10. There were over 600. So many people just deal with the 10. No, there's 600 plus commandments in the Old Testament. But it's interesting, the verse says, if there wasn't a fault with that first testament, we wouldn't have had a second. What was the fault of the first one? What's the problem with Old Testament, testament number one? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, and I've given you the verses, and you're going to read those, because there was a great dialogue between God and the Israelites about this covenant is between you and me. That Old Testament, that those commandments were given to the Israelites only and not to a world of people. So it had a fault in that it wasn't worldwide. Second, Paul said in Galatians 3, verse 11, no one's justified by the law in the sight of God. Wait, I want justification. I can't get that by keeping the old law. I can't keep the old law. No one can. So there's a fault to it. In Galatians 3, verse 24, and I didn't put this one in your notes. You have to add it. But Galatians 3, verse 24, Paul says, therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after the faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor. Well, if the law was a tutor to bring us to Christ, and now that that's been accomplished, we're no longer under a tutor. We're no longer under the old law. That's sensible. I can understand that. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 3, Gavin added note on why we don't keep the old law. But he says, within those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins every year. It's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. So they had those sacrifices daily and annually to take away their sins, but every year those sins were remembered. And so they had to have another animal sacrifice. But with the sacrifice of Jesus, once our sins are forgiven, they're no longer remembered. So that first testament was faulty. It had its limits. So he came to establish a second testament or covenant. Jeremiah even prophesied it in Jeremiah 31, verse 31. The days are coming, says the Lord, I will make a new covenant. I will. I'll make a new one. So what is it? It's that New Testament that we have in our hand. Now put in your notes that Jesus introduced that at his Last Supper. He was keeping the Old Testament commandment of the Passover with his disciples. From that Old Testament keeping of the Passover, he introduces his New Testament. From the Passover table, with its ingredients, he takes two items, the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, and institutes his own supper. We just partook of that this morning. But Jesus said this and gave this information when he was instituting that his own supper. In Matthew 26, he said when he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to them, says, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many, not just the Israelites only, for many, for the remission of sins, not to have our sins remembered every year. Wow. And then the Hebrew writer again explains it in the next chapter from our text of chapter 8. Now we'll go to verse 9, chapter 9. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, will cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Yeah. And for this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant. There's an old covenant. There's a new covenant. There's a first. There's a second. So Jesus goes to the cross. His blood is shed. He dies. Buried, he's risen according to the scriptures. Now before he ascends back to heaven, he gives a charge to his disciples that are gathered. In Mark 16, verse 15, he says, go into all the world. He says, you preach this gospel to every creature, everybody. Unlimited in its scope. Everybody. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. And then in verse 19 it says, so after the Lord has spoken, he was received up into heaven, and sat down at the right hand of God. So we live under that second covenant, that new testament that was instituted when Jesus died. That's when it began. Second, in your notes, there's a first and second birth. The exact phrase, first and second, is not here, but as you know the text, you must be born again. So there must be a second birth. Here's the story. I'll read it in its entirety. Beginning in John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Yeah. He was a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. He said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God be with him. But Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, with all the confidence in the world, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Cannot. Unless you're born again, a second birth. And Jesus said it. Don't say, oh, there goes Brian again. No, Jesus said it. He said, you cannot, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, Nicodemus scratches his head. I can understand this. He asked Jesus, well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? I can't imagine a mother wanting to go through that. all over again. Wait a minute. You see the size of my child now? This old child of mine? So Nicodemus didn't understand. So then Jesus answered, he said, most assuredly, I say to you, even with your lack of understanding, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Cannot. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That's right, flesh. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That's our first word. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Spiritual birth. So here we have two births in this conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus. First one is physical. By the way, everyone here has experienced that. No one's left out here from that first birth. You got that one. But not all of us have been born again. That second birth is spiritual. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It's described as being born again. A little explanation to this is written by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. It says, since you've purified your souls, that's what I want to do. You purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Oh, there's our word Spirit. You've obeyed the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. So love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again. Now we have some words that are connected here. We have obeying the truth through the Spirit, having been born again. And then he goes on to give us a little more explanation. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. That is through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now we get a sense of what it means to be born again. When we obey the truth, that Spirit-inspired message, we're born again. More explanation is in that Commissius gave the apostles. This time I'll read it from Matthew. Matthew 28, Jesus came and spoke to them. He said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Jesus has all the authority. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So how does one make disciples? How does one become a disciple? By being baptized, by obeying the truth. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. New. When did you and I become new? When did you and I be, when were you and I born again? When did that second birth take place? When we were baptized. Paul said in Galatians 3, verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And he describes it in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, that when we're baptized, it's a likeness of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and we rise to walk, and here's our word again, newness of life. When did new life begin? When you obeyed the truth through the Spirit, having been born again, because we obeyed the gospel message, and having been baptized. So we've all experienced one birth, the first one. But not everyone has experienced the second one because not everyone has been baptized. The next time the word we have old and new or first and second is when the young ruler came to Jesus, asked what the first and great commandment is. It's in Matthew 22, verse 34. The Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees. So they gathered together. And then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing Jesus. Said, "Teacher, what's the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." First. "Oh, and a second is likened unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Well, the first commandment is just giving God priority. Giving him your all. Everything you have, all that we can muster up within us. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second one is being kind to one another. Paul said in Galatians 6, verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Well, being kind to one another is a law. It's the law of Christ. So give God your all. Don't forget to be kind to one another. Fourth time I put in your notes, I could spend time on these a lot longer, but but I won't. You have the notes. The fourth time that the words first and second are used concerns the first and second coming of Jesus. Now we know Jesus came the first time, that's in the scriptures, and it was prophesied. Even at the birth of Jesus, in Matthew chapter 1, the Bible says, "Oh, she," meaning Mary, "she will bring forth a son. You'll call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They'll call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." So right at the start, when Jesus was born physically, it was prophesied. Mary brought forth a son. He was a heavenly child with an earthly mother. He was an earthly child with the heavenly father. Make sense? And you have the other verses. Certainly he was born. We know he walked among us. But he's coming again. So we have a first and second coming. He came the first time to save us from our sins. The second time in Hebrews 9 verse 28 says, "So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time." There's our words. Second. He will appear a second time for salvation. So even, you know, Jesus said it himself. Very familiar scripture in John 14. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God." I believe in God. "Believe also in me," he said. "My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He's coming again to take those who are ready with him. Those who have been born again. The last one I have, and you have other verses that you can read before that. But the last one I have is first and second death. First death is physical. No one here has experienced that yet. You've experienced physical birth. But let it be known you and I will experience physical death. Hebrews 9 verse 27. "It's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment." Yeah. All of us, just as we experience physical birth, will experience physical death. Job 14, verse 1 says, man that's born a woman is a few days. We're like a flower, fades away, like a shadow that doesn't continue. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5 says, the living know that they shall die. Of course, we say all this so that you and I can prepare to avoid spiritual death or second death. That's in your notes. You need to know that there will be a second death. It's a phrase I heard many, many years ago. If you're born once, you'll die twice. You'll die physically and spiritually. If all of you the only birth you've experienced is physical. If you're born, meaning born again, you'll only die once. Physical death. Born once, you die twice. If you're born again, you only die once. It's appointed that the man wants to die. You understand the lesson? All right, here it is. In Revelation 20, verse 14, death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. We can avoid this second death. That's what it said. This is the second death. If anyone was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. Second death. Revelation 21, verse 7. He who overcomes, I want that. Over shall inherit all things. I'll be his God, and he'll be my people. Well, remember the condition, you have to overcome. The cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is, the verse says, the second death. There will be a second death. Eternity. But to avoid this second death in the verses we just read, we need to have our name, first of all, in the book of life and be an overcomer. Overcome those things that would take us away from Christ. In the Revelation 2, verse 11, we can do that. Because Jesus told the church there. It says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. See, you don't have to die twice. You don't have to. In 1 John 5, verse 5, it says, but who is he that overcomes the world? He who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you believe that, as Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, obey my commandments. Do what he said. It's not enough to just believe. You can't do that. You have to overcome. Stay on his side. Let others know to whom you belong and on whose side you stand. So that's the lesson. We must be born again, keep the commandments, and overcome. Born once, that's everyone here. You're going to die twice. But if you're born again, meaning you've been baptized for remission of sins, you only die once. Appointed the man wants to die. You can avoid that second death by putting your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and overcome. You do that by, we mentioned, by being, the phrase Peter said about being born again, by obeying the truth, the gospel message. That commission that Jesus sent his apostles and disciples into all the world. Tell everybody, he who believes and is baptized, tell them, they got to hear the message. Tell them, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. You avoid second death. Overcome. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. All of us, if we have not done so already, are subject to that invitation to obey the truth, the gospel message. If you have not done so already, we can accomplish that this morning. Simply need to let your request known. While we're singing this song, just come have a seat beside me. Just make that request. Brian, I want to be born again. I want to be baptized for remission of sins. We can accomplish that. So let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected.